Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 15th of June, 2021. We struggle with the date. I'm joined by Carl, and today we're going to be talking about the launch of GB News, also Democrats calling critical race theory a conspiracy theory, and that's why they're not mad, totally not mad, about Florida Man banning critical race theory from Florida.
If he banned a conspiracy theory, what's the problem? Surely you guys being fact-driven are really happy with him banning these conspiracy theories, you would think.
Cracking down on the conspiracy theorists, and yet the Dems are upset. Big think. Anyway, so first thing I want to mention is all the premium content we have at lotuseaters.com. This is how we pay for the show, all the rest of it. So if you want access to all that, go over there. And it's good stuff, so people should go over.
It's not just good stuff. It's really good stuff. It's our best stuff,
it's
which
the best
is why
stuff.
We paywall it.
It's huge.
No. It actually is, though. Right? Like the Alcibiades podcast, we've got the three Peloponnesian War podcasts. So if you're interested in history and you want to hear about epic things that Hollywood won't make movies about for some reason, that was the point of doing those. And then we've got like the premium podcast of like Alex Jones being right, and just the whether David Lammy is an Englishman, the demographic change in the UK, and various other things that
stuff we can't talk about normally
because of editorial policies, and just various other bits and bobs that are just really, really interesting and well worth your time.
I really like the, you know, of all the things, like the thing I keep thinking back to is the demographics video we did, because it's just something you can't talk about.
No,
on but YouTube it's just or Facebook. Or
numerically, the numbers are in and everything is...
Yeah. What's weird is it wasn't even controversial. It's like, literally, here's the UN's document saying replacement migration. Here's what they think.
Yeah. And then, anyway. But I've also got another book club coming up on Neither Left Nor Right, History of Fascism in France by Zeev Sternhell, who is an Israeli historian and political scientist and one of the considered a foremost thinker on fascism. And he was like, well, this came from France. It's like, yes, it did. So that'll be a book club up probably next week.
I've been watching a lot of stuff about Hitler being a socialist, so hopefully that's
useful.
Anyway, next thing I want to mention was just career opportunities. So we're hiring video content presenters. So if you are good at presenting video content and you'd like a job here and you can come to the office and work here, please go over to the website, go to the job section at the bottom of the page and check this out and see if it's for you. And we'd love to hear applications.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the last thing I wanted to mention was a reiteration of please no swearing in video comments because... takes time to edit it out because we need to.
Yes. Because we're trying to be good boys.
Yeah, trying to be good boys. We love the mums. Got to get the mums on board. Anyway. Yeah. So also, last thing is the...
Share our podcast with your mum.
Yes. The last thing is also...
She'll like the aesthetic.
The tall lady video, which you just did.
Oh, yes.
About Lady Demetrescu.
Yeah, Lady Demetrescu, or Demetrescu, however you meant to pronounce it, from the Resident Evil games. I think she tells us a lot about gender and the essential nature of it. And so I've done a video about it. It'll be up at 3 p.m., I think.
Yep, 3 p.m. today.
So after the podcast, and I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of the argument in it. So
anyway, without further ado, let's get right into it. No. We're never going to stop.
Right, let's talk about the launch of GB News. Now, GB News has been billed... not by themselves as much, but more by their opposition, as being Britain's answer to Fox News, which would be lovely, to be honest, because we have literally nothing in the way of television news or, I don't know, I mean, any TV channels that you could consider to be right-wing or explicitly right-wing, and everything else, of course, has a massive left-wing bias. And so this provoked the ire of all of the left-wingers who are creating the milieu of bias that GB News is objecting to. And they posted articles like this. GB News is opposing a BBC woke media tyranny that does not exist. Just go and look at the BBC. imagine saying this. Right.
Says us, the media.
Yeah, says us, the media, the woke media. But just go to the BBC and go to, like, you know, the iPlayer and stuff like that and just search for the word racism. See how many programs about racism, and then transgenderism and gays and all these other woke talking points. It's constant. It's nonstop. Pure identity politics, and I'm forced to pay for it, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, this was...
I love how someone who writes this, like, they're clearly mad that this exists. Why are you mad if it doesn't exist?
Yeah, and if it's no threat to you at all, why bring it up? But yeah, anyway, so they're very unhappy about this. And an organization called Stop Funding Hate played into the channel's hands by demanding an advertising boycott, giving the impression that the cancel culture, which has led speakers being no platformed at universities, is being used to censor British media and enabling Neil to brand them as woke warriors.
What did he say? Creating?
Woke media tyranny that doesn't exist, except until you decide to challenge it. And then they're like, right, advertising boycott, deplatform, get rid of it. It's like proving the point.
Gave an impression. What does Stop Funding Hate do? It's a Twitter account. It's literally just a Twitter account. Like, what is it, the one in the US?
Yeah, Sleeping Giants.
Sleeping Giants that just endlessly, like, you know, tags harasses companies and harasses them into saying that you should not be funding this because we don't like it.
Yeah.
We think their ideology bad, so don't fund.
Yeah.
That's all they do. And you don't get an equivalent on the right, as far as I've seen. It doesn't happen. Occasionally, they'll do a boycott because they think, like, you know, Coca-Cola will come out and say, be less white. That's about it. Yeah.
But that's exactly true. But that, again, the identity politics saturates everything that the media does. And so for them to come out and go, well, there's no woke tyranny. Okay, well, then let's see the far-right news programs on the BBC if they're fairly representing everyone. And exactly, this the very notion is just hilarious, isn't
Cooking
it?
With Nick Griffin. Well, it's not going to happen.
But I mean, like, but even like Piers Morgan is too far-right for GMB.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is... If Piers Morgan is too right-wing for you, you have a problem?
Like the former editor of The Mirror.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a woke warrior in his own right. But anyway, not to give Piers Morgan any hassle, but I love this, right? He says, the idea that our diverse and robustious, never even heard of that word, robustious, news industry is stifled by self-imposed gag of political correctness is nonsense. Okay, well, why are they doing all of this? What's the point? You know, why have GB News if they feel this way? And then another point that they make is like, well, look at all these Good Morning Britain, Great Britain News people. You know, Richard Sharp, the BBC chairman, was a Goldman. Oh no, sorry, that's the wrong part. But they're complaining that these people are all insiders. And it's like, yeah, people from inside the media are like, hey, we're being stifled by woke bias to the point where we're literally going to scrape together £60 million and found a new television news station. And you're like, yeah, but that doesn't exist. It's like, well, who else would you ask? Like, the people involved are literally saying it.
Like, there are plenty of people within these organizations that are finding it insufferable, but still stick around because, I mean, you've got to get a job.
Yeah.
But then they've managed to build their own. I mean, all the complaining, just go and build your own. They've done it.
Yeah.
And now you're still mad. Wonder why.
But saying, look, you've got no reason to be mad, even though they're literally saying, well, look, we've worked in the media for like 20 years or however long Andrew Neil's been doing it, and it's got to the point where it's absolutely insufferable, to the point where we're literally going to go to the unbelievable hassle of setting up our own media company. And I'll just say, you know, we set up our own media company and it's a lot of work. And we didn't have like £60 million. We don't have, you know, the scale of the operation that GB News has. And I can tell you that it's a lot of work. And so if you're going to go to this amount of effort, there has to be a pretty good animating reason behind it. And so, like, defending BBC News, going to stigmatise BBC News as woke and out of touch as Andrew Neil has done, is a casual slur on its vast daily journalistic output. Or it's just an accurate description of what the BBC is like now. Anyway, so GB News presents itself as a radical alternative, but it's a product of the TV news establishment. See, this is exactly the point.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's a product of the TV news establishment. They are saying you're insufferably woke, and you're like, no, we're not. No, we're not. You don't exist. But I love this. If GB News can score some ratings wins over Sky News, which has a tiny audience on a slow news day, it might persuade its wealthy funders to add to the $60 million invested. God, you sound salty. Where's your $60 million, eh? That's what you're asking. And you knock up George Soros. GB News is targeting the culture wars of identity politics because it'll know it'd be backed by a right-wing press, which has a commercial interest in bashing the BBC and exaggerating the woke boogeyman. Oh, don't even start. Oh, it's just an exaggeration and a boogeyman. Okay, all right. Then why are you so bothered about it?
Why do we have jobs? Specifically based on what race you are.
Which
boogeyman did that?
But why are you so bothered? If someone was like, look, right, there's a giant Bigfoot conspiracy and I'm going to debunk it, I would be like, oh, you debunk it. I'd be like, okay,
yeah, I know, I ignore you all the time.
Yeah, but I would just be like, I don't care, you know, because
yeah.
I don't think there is, and so I wouldn't be bothered by it. But then they end with this. Some people, it seems, are threatened by efforts to achieve racial and gender equality. Oh, is this the woke tyranny that you're talking about? This is what. So you're actually, at the very end of it, you're just going to admit that there is a woke tyranny. But let's not be kidded that our society, least of all our media, is in the grip of a woke tyranny. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And everyone knows it. This is why this is coming into being. But anyway, so the next one was just, you know, people on Twitter. A chap called Sam Bright, verified checkmark on Twitter.
Ironic name.
Ironic name. It's not impartial. It's not impartial. No. It's called GB News. Like, it couldn't be more explicit on their editorial bias. Andrew Neil, in his opening monologue, came out and was like, by the way, we're news that is not... We're proud to be British, and we're not anti-Britain. And it's like, well, that's not impartial. No, but You're not either. I mean, your wing of politics has spent the last 10 years literally demolishing the concept of objectivity and impartiality. They've decided that everything is permeated with a kind of white bias, or whatever kind of bias that they claim it is to be in a particular country. And so, like, saying, well, you're not impartial. No, but you aren't either, and you don't believe in impartiality. So that charge means nothing.
Yeah. I mean, the single best example of this has to be Panorama, the documentary Lord Voldemort made about BBC Panorama, who tried to do a sting on him.
Yeah, John Sweeney and his impartial hit piece on, you know, the far right, the far centre, really, is what we should describe it as. Well, because
that's his political compass.
Yeah, Lord Voldemort's political compass is way too left-wing for me.
actually is, though. That's the weird thing.
I know, I'm way
He's
more...
literally, like, one square down and, like, one square to the right, and that's it.
I'm way more libertarian than he is, and it's like, okay, fine. But anyway, so yeah, these are the sort of criticisms that are coming in. The next one is actually, I think, my favourite one, by Sam, and it's quite amazing how it's basically blood and soil leftism. Let's play the clip.
GB News is majority owned by people who live outside the UK. The firm that owns GB News is called All Perspectives Limited. All Perspectives Limited has four people with significant control of shares. The first is Mark Stolson, who comes from Malta and lives in the United Arab Emirates. The UAE is also home to GB News owners Alan McCormick and Christopher Chandler. Chandler is a New Zealander, which is 19,000 miles away from Britain. The final firm with significant control of shares is Discovery Communications Europe Limited. While this subsidiary is based in the UK, in London, Discovery itself is based in the United States, which used to be governed by Britain, but certainly isn't anymore. All Perspectives Limited, that owns GB News, has 8 officers and directors. Half of these individuals don't live in Britain. That includes Andrew Neil, who founded the platform, who is listed as living in France, specifically a villa in the south of France. GB News is many things, but it isn't British.
Okay, Nazi.
That's hilarious.
Like, literally blood and soil leftism here, right? So, I mean, this is amazing. A, I don't care, right? I don't care at all. And I don't see why anyone would care, because we're talking about other concepts. We're not talking about blood lineage or geographic location, actually. Believe it or not, if it's okay for us to talk about something other than the genes of the people involved, Byline Times.
Shares of a parent company in a foreign country, that's fine.
Yeah, we're talking about other concepts, actually. Things like loyalty, fidelity, compassion. Things like this, you know, things that the left aren't really very au fait with. I just use a French word. Sorry, Byline Times. I'm sorry I just use a French word when I'm talking to you. I know that's wrong and I should be pure British nationalism, but like...
Like the main host, Andrew Neil, he has a house in France, therefore he's not British. He's a foreigner.
Yeah, exactly.
But also the New Zealand guy, like, he's from New Zealand, yeah. So therefore he's a foreigner. It's like,
oh, are they?
What? That doesn't make any sense.
It's like in the Americas, oh, they're from America. Oh yeah, that's got nothing to do with Britain, you know?
Oh boy. Yeah, that's just as foreign as Mongolia.
Yeah, exactly.
But then also the guy from Malta, like, he lives in the UAE, okay? Like, as soon as I leave the country, am I then a foreigner? Is that from then on?
Exactly. Like, it's an amazing argument, because the thing is, you make an argument if you're unhappy with something and you have a criticism of something. And it implies that if all of these things were actually located in Britain and all of these people were all British, Byline TV would have no complaints and be fully on board because of the Nazi standards that they're applying to GB News. And you're like, hang on, you're not Nazi enough for us to support you? Sorry. You know, I guess they're not. You know? Good for them.
Oh, boys. But I love how they're also like, yeah, these guys are abroad and they own shares.
Foreign.
It's like, yeah, this is international capitalism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, where's that going?
That's exactly it, right? We'll get to that, because like, it is genuinely like they feel that international finance is with echo quotes, presumably, is puppeteering GB News. That was the primary argument from the very left-wing organizations that were attacking GB News, which was hilarious. But the next one was just the follow-back pro-Europe people. You can see with very sensible European Union flags in their bios. If we can scroll up a bit on this one, please, John. So Sam Bright again. Dan Wooten has spent 5 minutes on GB News broadcasting conspiracy theories about coronavirus being a scare story. I'm old enough to remember an hour ago when Andrew Neil promised this new network wouldn't spread baseless fake news. GB News is British Fox News and our democracy is going to suffer for it. Yes.
Our democracy.
Yeah, yeah. No, your democracy is going to suffer for it. My democracy is going to be great. But anyway, so the next one is just The Independent. The whole channel is founded on a false prospectus. GB News was a disaster from start to finish. Yeah, keep coping.
Disaster for who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Who is the disaster for? It's you guys, isn't it? You don't like this. For an hour, Andrew Neil, out of sync but reading an elegantly written editorial, laid out his tendentious agenda. I love the way they're literally breaking out the thesaurus to write these pieces.
Well, you know, you got to put that English degree to work somehow.
You do, because no one else is going to employ you to do it. For his rolling not news channel, pretty much everything in our delectation was a reason not to flick past Russia Today and Al Jazeera and tune in. The very first proper show featured a foxy fact-free monologue by Dan Wooten that wouldn't have shamed Tucker Carlson. Look, as a fan of Tucker Carlson, you know, Dan did okay. But he's not Tucker. I mean, come on.
I'm sure he'd agree.
Yeah, he would take that as a massive compliment. So thank you. He said on a couple of occasions that there were boos when the England team took the knee, but never mentioned the applause the players received. That didn't seem very truthful.
When did they get the applause?
Slightly after.
Exactly. So when they stood up, they got the applause. I mean, if you thought about that for a minute, like that's where the applause comes in, you moron.
Didn't seem very truthful. There was a terrible irony in some of the showcase presenters, as far as I could discern, banging on about how voices aren't being heard when their microphones weren't working. Well, we'll talk about their technical issues in a minute, and to be fair, it's the first day, give them a break. Although, you could make the counter-argument, you are all news media professionals. We weren't, you know. Anyway, whoever runs GB Sound for GB News needs firing. I got the message, though. The constant repetitive line that the BBC, Sky News and ITV are ignoring views they don't like. The sort of things people outside the metropolitan elite disdain. And it's time to let those opinions have the space they need because the people have been silenced for too long. It's a lie.
No, everything that was true.
Come on.
It's demonstrably true. I mean, how many movements just can't get on these kind of organizations. They're just ignored. And when they do have one representative, it'll be one of them and like five people from the progressive left.
Look at BBC Question Time. Every single week, it's literally like four left-wing people and then one conservative.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ben Shapiro's experience is all media in the UK, which is him and then five leftists.
Yeah.
And this is his job.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, to say that that's a lie is just an open lie in and of itself. The whole channel is founded on a false prospectus, and that it is there to act as some sort of antidote and balance to the other broadcasters who are citadels of groupthink, client journalism, and contemptuous of those who don't conform to liberal progressive values.
True.
That's all true.
True.
That's all true.
Best example. I'm sorry to keep bringing him up, but you know, British Voldemort, when he was arrested for contempt of court the first time round, proven by the judge on appeal that it was nonsense the way he was arrested and put in jail, and then they had to do the retrial.
Mm-hmm.
Before that judge made his decision, everyone was in agreement. Nothing happened. Everything went right. There was no problems with that arrest. There was no problems with the conviction. Everyone just said nothing and said everything was okay.
Yep.
And then when the judge came back and was like, no, this is nonsense, they had to be like, oh, mea culpa, you know.
Yeah.
But all of you, Sky News, ITV, BBC, all of you did it. So it's correct mm-hmm. assessment.
And again, they go, well, every GB News presenter is a creature and creation of these media elites. They don't understand how this is proving their own, proving the point they're trying to refute. You know, none of the GB presenters have been fished out of a boozer in Grimsby. Yeah, but that's the point. They're people from the inside who are like, wow, we're surrounded by this weird groupthink that hates Britain and won't let us express our views. We're going to have to go to the extent of founding our own media organization to be able to express ourselves. But then they go, the false founding, the GB News myth, is that the BBC, ITV, Sky News don't reflect the kind of anti-woke, Brexity, chippy views that GB News is supposedly the only safe space for. Yeah. All of them were unbelievably pro-Remain. I mean, like, What world do you live in?
The BBC, very Brexity on that one.
Sky News, man. Sky News was so insufferably Remain.
Like, they're owned by MSNBC.
Yeah, well, there we go. That tells you everything you need to know. So Sky News Australia, obviously. Big shout out there, by the way. They are supposedly biased, unbalanced propaganda machines for the left. Yes. The BBC literally buys half of The Guardian's circulation on a daily basis. They are literally propaganda machines for the left. This is not true. Yes, it is true. It is true. You're a liar. Every mainstream news and current affairs show, including the much maligned Channel 4's news, strives to balance opinion and views and reflect public opinion. Who believes you? Do you believe yourself? Did you write this and going, well, look, I'm being paid to write this, so I have to write that, but that's obviously nonsense. You know, there are certainly opinions that are not heard in the mainstream broadcast media, and they're not heard for a reason. They violate legislation or are borderline racist and dangerous to your health. Oh, there we go. We've arrived at the woke bias. You admit in your own article that this exists. These are borderline racist. This is your ideology. This is your ideology screaming. But anyway, of course, The Guardian, moving on, rated it 1 star.
Aw. How will they ever recover from this?
No, but that's... Yeah. Andrew Neil's alternative BBC, utterly deadly stuff. Oof, oof, deadly,
what
is it?
What are you going to do?
Andrew Neil is on a rampage, is he?
Like he's going to kill the left. Good.
That was a great point, actually. Yeah, okay, keep going, Andrew. Can GB News change Britain's news agenda if no one watches it? The answer, incredibly, is yes. Wired magazine recently reported that GB News will be a success if it has reach rather than ratings, which means if it creates a controversy through interviews and reportage, it will create news or the clickbait semblance of it. Well, good news for The Guardian is that people are watching it. If we go on to the next one, we got the initial data from the viewer... time slot between 7 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night, and GB News was number one.
In the whole country.
In the whole country.
Even beating the state-funded BBC.
Oof.
Like, the most privileged organisation in British society and civilization of all time is the one that got BTFO'd.
But you have to remember as well, like, the BBC News get literally privileged access to celebrities, politicians, and everything that's happening.
Everything's
paid for. They're massive as well. The BBC has scaled up in recent years.
They've got that institutional advantage as well of being around for decades.
Yeah, and being the BBC, Auntie Beeb, you know. And GB News, on its first day, blew it out the water by 30,000 people. Sky News got almost three times what Sky News gets, which is the third. And to be honest with you, I'm looking at this thinking, wow, only 164,000, though.
Like, well, that's concurrent live viewers. I mean, sure. Imagine if you did a live stream and it got
160,000. But that's also over a four-hour period.
I think that's the average, is how they calculate it, for that four-hour period.
Right, okay.
I might be wrong.
Yeah, but I don't know. But the point is, I expected more, but what are you going to do? But yeah, so anyway, this blew The Guardian out because they were like, well, what if no one watches it? Nah, loads of people watching it, it turns out. It turns out it's the most popular news station in the UK. And The Guardian went on to complain about it winning. Well, I added this link afterwards, so John hasn't got it up. The proud-to-be-British new channel has backers, including US Discovery and Dubai-based fund. Ah, yes, International Capital is subverting the UK media. I see where you're coming from, my Führer. You sound like a bunch of... Ooh, the international money.
International finance. Yeah. This guy from New Zealand sending money. Okay.
But... all it is the Nazi complaint.
I love, but it's like it's New Zealand or this guy from Malta. Like, it's not China. Like, yeah. These are former colonies of ours. They're in the Commonwealth. They're friends.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah, anyway. So the next thing is, of course, the attempt to get them deplatformed. So someone on Twitter had just posted, Deplorable Bristolian on Twitter had posted, we should thank all of these companies who are advertising with GB News. And Copperberg UK, which is a cider manufacturer, replied saying, thanks for bringing this to our attention. We want to make it clear to everyone that our ad ran on this channel without our knowledge or consent. Copperberg is a drink for everyone, and we have immediately suspended our ads from this channel pending further review of its content. Tyranny, folks. GB News.
You see the flag there? You're seeing Copperberg.
Yes, it's a pride flag, yes.
It's not just a pride flag, it's the racial pride flag.
Oh, good point.
With the black and brown stripes.
That's right. The race pride people at Copperberg were like, hang on, we can't have GB News, what I'm going to generously call centre-right news station, carrying our adverts. That would be awful. That would be tantamount to Nazism.
But I love the idea that, like, oh, we had no idea. It's like, what, did you slip and fall? Like,
no. In their defense, what they probably do is outsource advertising to separate companies.
Yeah, possible.
And so there probably is a chain that has to go through.
Yeah.
So
someone was like, hey, this GB News is really popular. Let's put ads on it.
And Cobber were like, great, we'd like lots of people to buy our product. And then they were like, oh, hang on a second. You guys aren't blood and soil nationalists. Return that money. Yeah. We're not advertising on your channel. So, amazing.
Copperberg. The Swedes, the Nazi collaborators, in the bin. In the bin. Not useful.
not interested in the internationalist GB news. How dare they?
Thatcher seems to be all right. They haven't done anything like this that I've seen. So
that's true. Yeah. So anyway, the next thing, of course, is GB news on the very first day, complaining to Ofcom about the poor competitive environment of the market, because it appears that BBC, ITN, and Sky have been blocking the access to a broadcast pooling system. Now, this is where they've got various amounts of sort of footage of common events that they take and pool together so everyone can use it, and that's just, you know, a nice thing to do. And of course GB News got blocked from this, because why would you need to do that? Well, obviously because they were terribly threatened.
They're not real journalism, unlike us.
But they came from the inside media establishment. There's no woke tyranny going on, but you're not allowed our stuff, and we're going to deplatform you, defund you, and all this on day one. Amazing. And so, yeah, this is a complaint that GB News put into Ofcom, and let's hope they uphold it, because obviously GB News should be allowed to compete with all of the other news channels in exactly the same environment. Anyway, so moving on to what we thought of GB News, what did you think?
I didn't watch a whole lot of it, because I don't watch TV, so it didn't really pop up hugely. I saw some clips on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Andrew Neil's monologue was good.
Yeah.
Woke Watch with
Andrew Doyle,
my boy, was very good.
Yeah, he was.
Because there was a great point in which Andrew Neil said it's not illegal to be offensive in the UK, and Andrew Doyle was like,
kind of is.
Section 127 Communication Act.
Only if you don't put it on the internet.
Yeah. So, other than that, seems good. You wouldn't get that discussion anywhere else. Doesn't even get mentioned.
Absolutely. And so I've got to say, I wasn't massively impressed with the look. So if we skim through this video a bit, John, you can see this is the teaser video that they put out. If you like, just go back to get about halfway through the video, then you get to see the way it's presented by the presenters. A bit further on, There we go. Right, so you got Andrew Neil. He's probably in his home in France here, but the point is, this is a very nice aesthetic, right? It's bright, it's summery, it looks like you could be in an English country garden or something. It's got a nice greenery in the background, and all of the presenters are in a vaguely similar setting, right? And so it gives the impression of being very open, and it was appealing to me. I thought it was very homely. And then we get to, like, Andrew Neil's monologue, which, again, good monologue, but I can't understand the rationale behind the set. Like, I don't want to be excessively critical, but that kind of looks like my office back at home, like with the curtains in the background, and like it's very dark. Why is everything so dark? Like, it kind of looks like the lair of a villain, right? And that's not, I don't think that's the right aesthetic to put across at all. Obviously not including the audio problems that they've been having and various technical glitches.
But again, those get smoothed out.
Yeah, we've been there. The excessive harping on about that by left-wingers who are in very privileged positions by joining companies that already have a very well-established process. Yeah, it's easy for you to say, right? But the choices for the background I find very peculiar. Why not have a kind of Fox News style, series of screens behind you that just have nice British looking decorations and patterns on that animate gently behind you, just to look professional and, again, just normal, you know? But otherwise it looks a bit dark and kind of super villainish, and I think that's definitely the wrong look. And this is from people who are very sympathetic to what GB News are doing. The next one is like Dan Wootton's one as well. Just, I don't know what the point of the background here is, because I mean, this looks like a London apartment to me, like with the table and the shelves and stuff in the background. It doesn't capture the spirit of Britain to me.
Like you're visiting someone's house.
Yeah, but not just that, you're visiting someone's house,
London.
Not just London, it could be any city, right? You're this feels as if it's in a high-rise apartment block in Manhattan or, you know, Dubai or something like that. It could be anywhere, but I think not great aesthetics.
Yeah, do God better with a cottage or something kind of feel.
Yeah.
Just something more British.
Yeah, or just something more like daytime TV-ish, to be honest. You know, there's no need to try and look like modern and edgy, because that's actually not the appeal of GB News. You know, the appeal of GB News is actually nostalgia and comfort and homeliness, you know. And like I said, not criticizing the presenters or anything like that. I actually think they've all done a fairly good job, especially because this is new and they've also got like the eyes of the media world on them.
Yeah, so the pressure must be immense.
The pressure must be immense. There's going to be hypercritical. And so it it's a difficult place that they've been in, and I think they've had a relative good start, even with the technical problems, which have been noted by places like even by the Telegraph, again, outlets you'd expect to be reasonably sympathetic. But again, maybe being a little harsh on the technical side, but for the aesthetics, I think they could have done better.
No. You're the aesthetic guy, I'm not, so yeah. I don't really have much to say about it.
Well, I mean, it doesn't look very appealing on the eye, does it?
I can see your point. Anyway, let's go to the yeah. index.
So anyway, moving on from that to a completely different subject. For some reason, the Democrat, well, I say for some reason, it's obvious why, because critical race theory, as we covered the other day, has been infused and injected into American public school life, and the parents are furious. We covered this in a clip the other day, parents rising up against critical race theory, and rightly so, because critical race theory is nothing but racism repackaged, which is why it's the Democrats doing it. And this has become something that has been drawn to the attention of left-wing politicians in the United States. So they've decided that what they're going to do, say the Democratic governor of Virginia, is just going to call it conspiracy theory. Let's play the clip.
So I, you know, listen to what you're saying about education. I was just wondering, like, with all the Republicans are talking about, like, critical race theory, and they're making this huge deal about it, and it's all of the conversation in the news with Virginia. Like, what are you going to say to all those people making education about that?
That's another right-wing conspiracy.
Okay.
This is totally made up by Donald Trump and Glenn Youngkin. This is who they are. It's a conspiracy theory.
I mean, that is just hilarious. I don't know whether you can see it, but we've literally got a critical race theory book over there that we've read, and we can guarantee to you it's not a conspiracy theory. What it is
a lot of people in on it, if it is.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's not a very small conspiracy.
Yeah, so this came out of American Critical Legal Studies and the mixed race group of people who are the...
I just want to mention as well, that's not some nobody. Like, that's the Democratic yeah. governor of Virginia. But also, he used to work on Bill Clinton's campaign, and I think he was the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, top Democrat. I mean, yeah. not a nobody out.
Not a nobody at all. But just to give you a quick history of critical race theory, it came out of Critical Legal Studies in America, which was a mixed race group of left-wing Marxists, you know, various syndicalists, whatever, you know, radical leftists who were interested in changing the system from within. And it became apparent to the non-white people in that group that there was a racial distinction between the non-whites and the whites. And so they broke off and formed a group that is now known as critical race theorists. And from there, it has sprung out through various other, how to describe it? I guess we'll call them postmodernist. Intellectual movements that have all woven together through the lens of intersectionality to create what we now can call critical race theory. And so it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not even like poorly documented. It's all there if you just want to go and read it. And so calling it a conspiracy theory is just an obvious lie and a way of covering your ass, because it becomes blatantly obvious by just looking at the things that these people do that what they're advocating for is just racism. And thank goodness for Mythicist Milwaukee, I can't see God because they're atheists, and I'm an atheist as well, but anyway, thank goodness for the fine fellows at Mythicist Milwaukee, who you should definitely follow on Twitter, by the way, because they are spending a lot of their time going through all of the public school board meetings and things like this where they talk about this stuff, and it's just all there. I'm not going to play all these videos. We've got a few, but I'm just going to skip over a bunch. So this is a Louisville Chamber of Commerce / GLI, an economic development corporation conglomerate that includes various brands. That's partnered with the Louisville government to implement anti-racism / CRT within their business community. This includes a mandatory inclusion index for accountability. If we can't measure your racial demographics, then we can't tell you how racist you are. That's what they're saying. The next one is the introduction of an oppression matrix to schools to educate children with. As you can see, what is an ally? An ally is, of course, someone who's on your side in a war. So you don't need allies if you're not fighting a war. I think I've mixed these up. But yeah, so you can see it's a person who's not a member of a marginalized group but takes action to support the group. So action. War. That's what they're doing.
There's a reason for this kind of language.
There is a reason for this kind of language. The next one, I believe, is an oppression matrix that we have. No, okay. I must have, yeah. Can we get out?
You might want to scroll. I think it's near the top or something. But don't worry about
Sorry,
it. It's just a list, I think.
Yeah,
I saw
this one. It's a nice matrix that shows oppression type, the privileged groups, and the targeted groups. So it codifies for children that white people are oppressing black people. Here we go. Type of oppression, racism. Privileged groups, white. Targeted groups, people of color. And type of oppression, sexism. Privileged groups, male. Targeted groups, female. Just religious oppression. Privileged groups, Christians. Targeted groups, Muslims.
Wow.
Amazing, isn't it?
Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
When you think in a global perspective, for God's sakes.
Ask the cops who's being oppressed.
Ugh. I mean, I've heard some nonsense in my time. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how American do you have to be to get that kind of perspective?
Very.
Muslims are the oppressed group. Christians, privileged.
Christians are not just the privileged group. They're the oppressors of Muslims. Staggering, isn't it? Ask the French if they feel the same way. Kids, you've got being brainwashed into this by being forced to do the critical race theory fist. Can we get that one up just so people can see?
The Marxist fist.
Yep, this is the Marxist fist. Bunch of kids just standing around, obviously not really into it. Been told to do it by their teachers.
Yeah, she wants a nice pretty picture to put up on the school's Instagram.
I've radicalized my kids. Hmm. Dog whistling to all of the other critical race theorists.
My kids, not my kids.
Well, yeah, not
the teacher doing it to other people's kids.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. But the point is a dog whistle to all of the other critical race theorists going, look, the work is proceeding as planned. And what's interesting is this has corporate backing. In this particular case, Pizza Hut is sponsoring critical race theory in the classroom. Next clip, the lady speaking about it claims that their organization has 475,000 members with Pizza Hut sponsoring what is just racism in the classrooms, teaching children that white men create stereotypes about black and brown people, and that's why they're oppressed. And this is all words coming out of the kids' mouths from their teachers, obviously. And it's like, right, okay, so they're just openly teaching the black kids and the brown kids that they are inferior to the white men, and the white men who are doing this to control and own their own property are oppressing them. It's evil. It's absolutely evil.
No more Pizza Hut.
No, well, this is why James Lindsay...
I never go to Pizza Hut in the UK anyway because it sucks.
Well, sure, but this is why James Lindsay had a great little meme for this. We're delivering racism. Yes, you are. It's just what they do.
We're open. We'll deliver racism.
We're literally funding racist indoctrination of children.
New toppings from Pizza Hut.
But anyway, yeah. So let's just watch the next clip.
I'm curious about the extent to which the presenters may or may not reference critical race theory when working with faculty. Do you find it productive to name this approach explicitly? Or do you just kind of do it without formal discussion? I'm thinking it could be a growth opportunity for some faculty as well, or we could learn from them.
That's a great point. For me, my approach, I like to be about it. So I don't necessarily name critical race theory or critical race praxis, but I make that part of how I operate in my action, in my role. So I could name it. That certainly is an opportunity, but I tend to be more focused on kind of operationalizing those thoughts and ideas.
They're ashamed and they don't want to tell you that what they're doing is critical race theory, because if they say we're doing critical race theory, you'll be like, ah, Nazism, right? No, I don't want my kids being indoctrinated into that. Why are you doing it? And so they hide, which is why the Democrats are now going to try and repackage critical race theory. And you're going to see this in the next coming weeks and months, where they try and repackage critical race theory by simply teaching it, but without naming it and saying that anyone who references it is calling it a conspiracy theory like they do with cultural Marxism.
White nationalists talk like that all the time.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. And it's because the if you were to name the thing, people would be like, oh, wait, I know what that's all about. But if you were in fact to say, well, I'm just concerned about fairness and equity, then who isn't? Everyone's concerned about those things. And it's a way of subverting and sneaking it in through the back door. And just to be clear, this is done by racists, not just by like people who will hide their power level either. Like this previous lady who was like, well, I'm not going to name critical race theory to give my racism a name. No, no, you get people like Robin DiAngelo who are just open about the fact that they are racist. Let's play this next clip.
So I'm pretty sure I'm speaking to a room filled with white progressives. And I do a caucus group or something, and the white people are afraid I might think they're racist. I think you're racist. I do. I think I am too. Right. So I'm just gonna put it right out here. As a result of being born and raised as a white person in this culture, I have a racist worldview. I have deep racist biases.
Then you're fired.
I have developed racist patterns.
What?
She's a racist. Also, she admits to being a racist.
This is the lady who wrote White Fragility that's being recommended by my government.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And she calls herself a racist. Just openly to the laughs of other racists in her audience. You're racist. Yes, we are. Like, I'm a racist. Yes, you are.
And I can't believe we're getting away with it.
And they're not just getting away with it, they're getting paid. They're getting fat stacks for being racist. And so I personally agree with this professor at Brown University, who is, as you can see, a black man, but I don't think that's really very relevant. I think what he has to say is actually more relevant. Let's go for it.
If our kids are testing poorly, I'm talking about black kids, it's not because the test is biased against them, it's because they do not know the material. If a poor Asian kid living in a three-room apartment with four siblings can ace the test, our kids can do it too. Anybody who doesn't think so is a racist. They have the racism of low expectations about black people. They write us off. They think we are defeated by history. They patronize us, presuming that we can't actually perform. Yes, we can't in this. No, it's not equality, it's equity, bunk, is a surrender in the face of the problem that we actually confront. The problem is to develop black people so that proportionately more of us exhibit the mastery requisite to being successful in these competitive venues.
Perfect.
That's great.
That's exactly the problem. And by excusing this lack of mastery and saying, oh, well, it's because you're oppressed, it's because of white people, it's because of this, it's because of that, it means there's no upward impetus in order to develop it. There's no pressure on you to say you must get better if you can excuse every failure that you have. And I'm sorry, it's just not an acceptable thing. And we've got the Conservative's Guide to White Fragility that's up on Lidsies.com as a piece of premium content if you're interested in knowing more. So I went through Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility. It was a lot of work, but I put it all together in a video and a script that's on there that you can go and check out and sign up and become a member on. Just one of those reasons why you should support us, because we've been doing lots of work. And I gave this presentation at the German Parliament. So that was fun.
Yeah, interesting how the AfD were the guys who invited us on this.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot of nonsense about the AfD. The AfD, when we met them and gave this talk, they were in agreement with the liberal position.
Yeah.
They were all liberals on race.
Yeah.
They were not even, you know, conservative, really, in my view. They were all liberals. Yeah. Just like, no, it's just fair treatment. That's all I want.
Exactly. They would sign off on Glenn Lowry, the professor there, his statement. They would absolutely sign off on that, I've got no doubt. But the point is, they just don't want racial politics. And so this, I wrote this as a kind of guide specifically for conservatives to understand what you're dealing with. You know, you are actually dealing with open racism that has been codified and given a left-wing veneer, if it's ever had any other kind of veneer. And I think that's really valuable stuff. And so I thought I'd chill it again.
It's good. It's good. I recommend it. It was good fun to listen to.
Thank you.
But anyway, that's one of the last segments. So
what's Based Florida Man doing about critical race theory?
Based Florida Man is being Based Florida Man. So Florida Man has banned critical race theory, which I just love that title. Like, whenever Ron DeSantis decides to run for president, if it's the next one or the one after, he'll do one of them.
Come on. He
can't be positioning himself like this for no reason. He is just going to have to start running campaign ads like that. Yeah. Where it's like, Florida Man wants this.
Yeah.
Like, he should embrace the meme. It'll be great. So Florida Man has seen all of this stuff and decided, no, this is all racist garbage. Get rid of it. So the first headline here is Florida Board of Education passes rule banning critical race theory in classrooms. Several groups, including the State Teachers Union, oppose the rule change, saying that it would do greater disservice to students to cover up history. Cover up history by teaching them nonsense. I mean, teaching them that whites are superior to browns. That's covering up history if you say we won't teach that. Right, okay.
Start complaining about international finance, leftists. You know you want to. Just like, do it. Just
we have
it.
To teach Hitler's worldview, otherwise we're covering up history. Okay, I mean, to say that this is what he believed, but to say that this is true and you must believe this, that's two different things, folks. So the picture here is some kids chanting in the back. And the caption is, audience members chant, kids, not audience members, allow teachers to teach the truth, is what they were chanting, drawing public comments on Florida's plan to ban teaching of critical race theory.
But there's
schools.
No such thing as truth. We've already abolished the concept of truth. Truth is about subjective lived experience. And my subjective lived experience is that you're a bunch of Nazis. So no.
But also just the idea that like some kids are chanting, allow the teachers to teach the truth. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Who cares what the goddamn kids think?
Yeah.
This is for the adults to decide here. So I don't know why they give a say. But also just 1916 ring a bell. You remember
1619.
Sorry, 1619 yes. Project. Remember all that?
Yes, that's disavowed by Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and various other academic establishments for being ahistorical.
That's got you guys consider the truth anyway. So yeah, not taking a word of your advice on that. So the Florida State Board of Education unanimously voted to ban teaching ideas related to critical race theory Thursday, making it one of the largest public school systems to fall in line with conservative efforts across the country to regulate certain classroom introduction of American history. The rule says, in part, instruction on the required topics must be factual and objective and may not suppress or distort significant historical events, such as the Holocaust, and may not define American history as something other than the creation of a new nation based on largely universal principles stated in the Declaration of Independence. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. That's absolutely correct. Because what they're trying to do is make the American Revolution an ethnic revolution, when it obviously wasn't. There'd be no need for the English colonists to have an ethnic revolution against England. Like that doesn't make any sense. The American Republic is obviously an ideological project, and the Declaration of Independence couldn't be any more clear about that.
It continues. It must also have rules that teachers must serve as facilitators for student discussions and do not share their personal views or attempt to indoctrinate or persuade students to a particular point of view. Ooh. To try and stop the kind of nonsense such as making all the kids do BLM first. The board voted after hearing from Governor Ron DeSantis and over 30 speakers from both sides on the issue. So Santis went down and supported this. The move was a victory for DeSantis, who had been a vocal critic of critical race theory in schools, and he told board members, many of whom he appointed, by video before the vote, that students should be served with fact-based curricula by teachers who should, quote, not be trying to indoctrinate them with ideology. DeSantis added, I think it's going to cause a lot of divisions. I think it'll cause people to think of themselves more as a member of a particular race based on skin color rather than the content of their character and based on their hard work and what they're trying to accomplish in life. That's the conservative position.
Perfect description. And it's not the conservative, that's the liberal position.
But that's it. No, that is what is the liberal and conservative position. You know, the traditional Anglo-liberal, not the American liberal nonsense.
Well,
Because
not the socialist position.
That's what that is. That's the divide in the United States now, especially on this issue. You've got the liberals, you know, and the conservatives are all in agreement, content of character, and you've got the socialists who are like, yeah, but what about the race? What about the race? That's the important thing.
We literally can't think of anything other than their race. We're so sorry.
Several groups, including Florida Education Association, a union that represent teachers across the state, so communists, opposed the rule change, saying it would do greater disservice to students to cover up history.
Nobody's saying cover up. Nobody's saying don't teach about Jim Crow or slavery or the colonization of the Americas. No one's saying that. What they're saying is
that's already part of the curriculum.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, of course it's already part of the curriculum. What they're saying is don't tell the black students that they're inferior to the white students.
If you could do that for 5 minutes,
if that's okay, Democrats. I know you've got a long history of doing this, and it's been a really difficult thing for you to swallow. But maybe it's about their expectations. And in fact, the race report that was done by Tony Sewell over here actually really emphasizes this. Because West Africans who went to the Caribbean as slaves and West Africans who just moved to Britain as free people both have different outcomes, even though they're exactly the same in every other respect. So it seems to be about their own motivations and expectations. And if you're pumping their heads full of stuff that says you can't get ahead because white people are oppressing you, they're not going to get ahead. But if you don't say that, they do get ahead. It's deeply irresponsible.
So Florida here doing the thing, Florida man doing the thing here. But at least 16 states are considering to have enacted bills.
Good.
Sorry, are considering or have enacted bills that would limit schools to how they frame American history in terms of critical race theory.
Florida man is leading the way.
Yeah, he's... Who thought Florida would become like the Texas of the United States?
I love
States?
It. Florida's the Texas of the... Yeah, well, actually saying that, what are the Texans doing? You're being upstaged by the Floridians?
Yeah, you guys are being overtaken.
You know, for the, you know, the based Americans, I'm sorry, Florida's winning the crown.
The freest part of the world is now Florida. Okay. So the critics say that a national effort by conservatives to limit what is taught in schools risks politicizing the classroom. That's how they end that. By limiting the points of view allowed in classroom discussions. Amazing. You guys.
Literally what?
Like, We're like, hey, you could teach about American history, you know, the Jim Crow, all the rest of it. There's no censorship there. But don't tell the kids that they're inferior for being black.
You're like, politicizing this classroom.
But I want to.
You're limiting what we're allowed to teach.
But I'm going to tell those damn... And then, you know what's going to be said.
Yep.
So there's a video of one of the mothers BTFOing the chaps here from... Memology 101, which is a great channel. But let's play this first clip of her BTFOing the people.
My name is Keisha King. I'm a mom of two, one who's in the Duval County public school system and one in private school thanks to school choice. I'm also a member of Moms for Liberty, representing thousands of parents. Just coming off of May 31st, marking the 100 years of the Tulsa riots, it is sad that we are even contemplating something like critical race theory, where children will be separated by their skin color and deemed permanently oppressors or oppressed in 2021. That is not teaching the truth, unless you believe that whites are better than blacks. I have personally heard teachers teaching CRT, and we have had an assembly shut down because Duval County Public School System consultant thought it would be a great idea to separate students by race. This is unacceptable. CRT and its outworking today is a teaching that there is a hierarchy in society where white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied people are deemed the oppressor, and anyone else outside of that status is oppressed. That's why we see corporations like Coca-Cola asking their employees to be less white, which is ridiculous. I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist, and saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well.
I thought that was a great speech, but just what a thing as well. She's referencing that a real thing that happened in Florida, and we're about to get to it. So if we go to the next link, this is DeSantis's page where he just, I don't know, his staff writes stuff, and it's great. I don't know why more... what would you call it? Like, politicians don't have more things like this where they're just pumping the stuff out. There needs to be more Trump style blogs from politicians, in my opinion. Anyway, so they say that today Governor DeSantis went down to the board meeting and he says the woke class wants to teach kids to hate each other rather than teaching them how to read, but we will not let them bring this nonsense ideology into Florida schools. And then so on and so forth. Woke nonsense in schools is bad because it is. So he's right. So then they go on. During his remarks, Governor DeSantis cited several recent examples of critical race theory in schools. And they're amazing, so I picked out some of them here. A Philadelphia elementary school forced fifth graders to celebrate, quote, black communism, and simulated a black power rally to, quote, free Angela Davis from prison. At this school, 87% of the students will fail to achieve basic literacy by this graduation. 87% of the kids can't read.
Black communism.
But at least they're celebrating black communism. I assume that's actually where we got the picture of the kids doing that. I can't imagine it's that common.
It may well be, actually. Yeah. Don't underestimate how widely the corruption has spread.
But it gets worse. San Diego public schools accused white teachers of being colonizers on stolen Native American land and told them, you are racist. You uphold racist ideas, structures, and policies. They recommended that the teachers undergo, quote, anti-racist therapy. So just bullying.
A struggle session.
Bullying the white teachers, specifically right. The white teachers. And the next one, an elementary school in California forced third graders to deconstruct their racial identities, third graders, and then rank themselves according to their power and privilege.
Literally teaching the white kids that they're the most powerful and privileged people in the world is probably bad.
Du bist ein Übermensch.
Exactly. I mean, that's actually Nazism, just saying.
It's just the white teachers like, wir sind Übermensch, der sind Untermensch. Every day.
Well, I just love it. It's like, right, we're going to segregate the children. Why? Because I'm a progressive.
Next one. The middle school in Springfield, Missouri, forced teachers to locate themselves on an oppression matrix, claiming that white heterosexual Protestant males are inherently oppressors and therefore must atone and convert their white supremacy.
No, atone for their covert white supremacy. So what they're saying, now this is brilliant, what they're saying is white heterosexual Protestant men...
I love the right? Protestant.
No, that's important because of the Protestant work ethic. No one's going to accuse the Italians of being the Übermensch, right? Because sorry, Italians, you know I love you, but you...
Well, not even the Italians claim that, so during the war they didn't.
You do knock off about 3 p.m, don't you? Let's be honest. But that's the point.
Don't worry,
right?
They're not watching, they're asleep.
They're literally saying white heterosexual Protestant males are inherently oppressors. Why? Because they work hard. That's why. That's what they're saying. They're saying they're better than everyone else because they work hard. It's like, well,
Oh boy,
not about race, is it?
But I love it. Like, it's got to be Protestant. Like, I mean, if there isn't a better way of showing how nonsense this is, I think the Protestant thing in there actually does the best argument for you.
No, it's perfect.
Which is like, what on earth are you
talking complaining about? The Protestant work ethic, where you get respect from hard work and productivity.
You could just turn to every brown person, which is like, just become a Protestant.
Exactly.
It's that easy.
No, but that's exactly it. All you have to do. No, but that is it.
Like, this is from an atheist. So.
If you adopt the mindset that the work itself is the thing of value, and you gain self-respect and prestige from working hard, then you get the same sort of results as the white heterosexual Protestant male.
So it gets worse. Buffalo schools, public schools taught students that all white people perpetuate systemic racism and forced kindergartners to watch a video of dead black children warning them about, quote, racist police and state-sanctioned violence who might kill them at any time.
Bloody hell.
Hey, kinderners, look at these black dead kids.
Jesus Christ.
But so these are examples across the United States he gives, and then he gives an example in Florida, which I assume she was referencing. She says, in Jacksonville, a school planned to hold two school cultural meetings in which students would be separated on the basis of race.
Very progressive.
This is what they're doing. This is what they want to do. This is them, you know, this is what they're advocating we should be able to do. And of course, DeSantis is just like, nah, the entire Republican Party needs to reject this Democrat nonsense. And I don't know why the Dems are trying to die on this hill. I would have ran away long ago. But
look at the previous hills they've tried to die on. Slavery, the KKK, segregation. And it's like, oh, but they're trying to segregate people and teaching
they're
them
trying to, but they're trying to bring it
inferior.
All back at once. Yeah, exactly, that's the amazing thing.
They're very covert, but you know, they're just bringing back their exact same worldview from before.
Let's just play DeSantis talking about this because it's good.
Next week, I have my commissioner on education going to our Board of Education, banning any departure from accurate history and following our standards. This is something we've got to stay on the forefront of. We're also, Dan, not going to support any Republican candidate for school board who supports critical race theory in all 67 counties or who supports mandatory masking of school children. And so, as you said, these local elections matter. We're going to get the Florida political apparatus involved so we can make sure there's not a single school board Republican who ever indulges critical race theory.
Yes.
Fantastic. The Tories
Republicans
over here,
rise up.
The Tories over here are doing exactly the same thing. If you have used the word woke or intersectionalism instead of critical race theory, I don't care. Just you guys should be taking this on full-heartedly. It is an open goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want the other side, the opposition, to be sat there being like, we're for segregation, this is your golden opportunity to make them do that.
We're
going to
show your five-year-old pictures of dead black kids.
And then tell your black kids that
they're inferior.
They're Untermensch and the white kids are the Übermensch. Yeah, I'm progressive.
It's so disgusting.
So there's some fight back on this from the left, and it's pathetic. So if we go to the next link, this is Trevor Noah. So he retweeted this and said, there is no black man or white man. There is only Florida man.
Yes!
Yes.
Unironically endorsed Trevor.
Like, Chad, yes, Trevor.
Yes.
The racial collectivism, cringe.
Yeah.
Colorblind Chads, based. Yeah. Like, that's what we were all aiming for.
I mean, that's literally what we used to have, Trevor. And then you and your ilk came along and were like, yeah, but segregation, though. And everyone's like, no.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so yeah, Trevor Noah shooting himself in the foot. Robert Reich has also done this. So the next link here.
Yeah.
Robert Reich did the video. The so-called Party of Free Speech is now trying to ban educators from teaching about the anguish role racism has played in the shaping of America. We can't stand for it.
Sorry, the censors are upset that the Party of Free Speech is no longer for free speech.
But
the censors, the people who are against free speech.
Sorry, hang on. So these teachers want to segregate kids on the basis of race and tell them they're inferior on the basis of race. And the people with standards come in and are like, yeah, that's politicization. You can't do that in schools. You're like, yeah, but what about my free speech? Like, okay, I love to see the neo-Nazi Party of America walking in tomorrow and be like, yeah, we're with you. Because, I mean, that is their position. Like,
well,
the party
exactly
still exists.
Position, yeah.
So I'm sure they could just turn up and be like, yeah, well, also, Robert Reich with us. That'd be all right, didn't it? So if we play the next clip, this is him in his argument, which is trash.
The so-called Party of Free Speech is now going after academic freedom. A host of Republican-controlled states have passed or are gearing up to pass bills that ban teaching the role race has played in the history of American politics, policy, and law.
True.
Conservatives lob the term critical race theory against the nation's tragic racial history they don't want students to know, calling it indoctrination or brainwashing. Well, as an educator, I can tell you that the real indoctrination and brainwashing is in leaving out this history, and only teaching children the myths that we've always been a perfect country, always lived up to our ideals, and there's no need to reckon with our past. That's dangerous. Unless our children know all of our history, including the anguish role racism has played in shaping this country, they can't possibly understand why we are where we are today, and what we can and must do to better live up to our ideals. The stories we tell about ourselves matter. And it's about time we started telling the truth.
I love this so much. So I can just imagine what he envisaged American history to be. So America is founded by the English colonists and everything is perfect and great. And then there's a civil war for no reason and everything is perfect and great. And then there's massive protests against segregation for no reason. And then everything's perfect and great. And then suddenly critical race theory pops up and everything's grand. Like, it's absurd, absurd.
But also just the idea of like, okay, this is how the huckster comes to you. So if you're on a school board or something like this, and you want, you know, the other people on the board to understand, I mean, this is what they'll come. They'll come like this and be like, yeah, we need to teach about racism and whatnot. We already have it on the curriculum, sir. So why do we need the critical race theory? Because then what? Like, he's arguing.
Because those uppity Negroes are getting out of their place. That's why.
So says Mr. Reich.
Yeah, exactly. Robert Reich, 2021.
Like, you should really change that last name. Like, do a Trump and just change it. Because, yeah. Jesus Christ, man. Like, Robert Empire over here is going to tell you.
I just love the way that the guy with the German surname is like, listen, we need to talk about race.
Yeah. Mr. Reich thinks we should segregate the blacks and the whites on the basis that to really do academic freedom properly, the academics need to be able to segregate your kids and call them inferior on the basis of race. That's just true academic freedom.
If Ron DeSantis wasn't BTFOing these people legally and, you know, politically, then I'd probably be weeping. But thankfully, they're on the back foot and they're getting absolutely steamrolled at the moment. So.
Yeah, this opinion isn't popular. I mean, Robert Reich here. I can say it with Reich because it really is. But anyway, the chat chap there retweeting it saying, why are we expected to pay for your religious indoctrination nonsense? And I saw loads of other, you know, sort of Dems, really. Who should be Democratic Party but are leaving it en masse, retweeting this thing, being like, "Yeah, you've drunk the Kool-Aid, mate. I'm out." Like this is far gone. If you're arguing that this should be allowed in schools, I mean, segregating kindergartners. What's wrong? So yeah, based Florida man.
Yeah,
actually based. Let's go to the video comments. What do we want? Freedom.
It's a nice big protest. How is it? I never get to hear about these protests until the day they happen.
They're all banned online, aren't they? So
how are they organizing then?
Well, you got to know. Like, everyone just sort of knows. Like, you
know. No one ever tells me, so I don't know. You're going to have to send me some links, John, so I can follow this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to be able to support it and promote it.
The main thing I really love is the chants. The fact that people are just chanting, we want freedom, we want freedom. Like, they're such good framing. I absolutely love it.
Can't argue with it, can you? Mm.
I hear that you're hiring again. Well, your search is over. I am an expert in many things. For example, my expertise on ancient naval warfare tells me that this is a boat. As for working from the office in Swindon, I can make the commute in a mere 2 days. And as you can see, I look the part. I certainly don't look like a cross between a boy band reject and a hobo. David Edward, the obvious choice.
That's fantastic.
I mean, how can we say no?
Well, the 2-day commute kind of does it, but
that's literally the only thing holding you back, David.
Let's go for the next one.
Stand up if you hate racism. Stand up if you hate racists. Stand up if you hate racists. Stand up.
It's too many syllables.
Yeah.
You need to cut it down. How do we do it? Okay, you can't chant stand up for racism. That doesn't work.
And if it had become totally occluded, then what?
If it had become totally occluded, within seconds, you were going to drop the level of oxygen to a level that would be produce oxygen deprivation in the body, resulting in either a seizure or a heart attack, one or the other.
Now, for reference, here's where your hypopharynx is. It's just located right below your epiglottis. And again, just another view. This is epiglottis here. Hypopharynx is in right here. So let's jump over to the Harvard Medical School. So a heart attack or myocardial infarction. What is it? A heart attack occurs when one of the heart's coronary arteries is blocked suddenly or has extremely slow blood flow. A heart attack is also called a myocardial infarction. The usual cause of sudden blockage in a coronary artery is the formation of a blood clot, or a thrombus. The blood clot typically forms inside a coronary artery that has already been narrowed by atherosclerosis, a condition in which fatty deposits, plaques, build up along the inside walls of blood vessels. Give you an idea kind of what it looks like. We're on the American Heart Association. Boom. There it is.
I didn't quite get the point.
No, I'm not sure what that means, but we're not medical professionals and this isn't medical advice. No.
But I remember the chap was trying to explain to us, I remember him, why Dr. Tobin is wrong, but I didn't follow that line of reasoning very well. Might just be my fault, but let's go to the next one.
We often talk about communism or leftism as a religion. James Lindsay is somebody who explains it thoroughly, exactly what it is, what it's composed of, what the tenets are. There's a particular video on his YouTube channel, New Discourses, that explains it. It's very long, but it's very worth it. He also has a site, New Discourses, in case you're interested, and he put us in the Grievance Studies Affairs, which are hilarious if you want to look into it.
I couldn't hear that.
Well, just advertising James Lindsay's New Discourses YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
We're going to have to try and get him on at some point, because James Lindsay is doing a very good job.
G'day, guys. I cannot express how excited I am at the moment, because I don't know if it was you guys, but if it is, I am so happy because I got a ton of orders for my book, all my books, and I am really, really, really happy at the moment. So if you ordered my book after watching the last podcast, thank you very much. And Carl and everyone at the Lotus Eaters, you are friggin' legends. Thank you so much.
God, I really hope it was us now.
Yeah, that's great to hear that he's doing well either way, to be honest. That's fantastic. I'm happy when it helps.
Yeah, I love it when the people that we like succeed, because people that we don't like seem to succeed everywhere, and it's terrible. Mm. So always good. But right, let's give some comments. Jacob says, I haven't seen any of the GB news programs, but it's impossible to miss how upset all the satire outlets were. All of them, Independent, Guardian, Navarra Media. Quite humorous, if you ask me. I like calling them satire outlets.
That's quite good.
Spadroon says, Spadroon over rapiers. I don't even know what Spadroon is. On GB News, people are taking the same attitude they took to Brexit. One or two teething problems, and that's it. I told you it was a bad idea. Comes to the fore. Personally, see GB News as our Sky News Australia more than Fox. I see you decided against the Sith lighting today, Carl. Upgrading to gold either today or tomorrow. Sith lighting?
The fact that it was very dark and with the blue lights in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I didn't like the aesthetic at all. Not good. And hopefully they change it. Good afternoon, Lotus Eaters, says Robert. Is there any way either of you guys or all of us as a group use GB News to spread the word about Section 127 petition or raise awareness of the issues with it? They seem to be about freedom of speech. Could be a good path forward. Well, I've messaged some of the people that I know who work there about it.
Andrew Doyle did a good job of mentioning the problem with the law, because Andrew Neil seemed to be ignorant of that particular law.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll be able to mention it next time, or some other people will be able to mention it.
Yeah, I sent him a link to the petition, so hopefully he starts pushing it, because it's not our petition, but we just want Section 127 repealed.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be? Who wants to be sent to jail for posting something offensive online? I mean, I'm sorry, it's such an international embarrassment for someone to be able to say, yeah, you can't even be offensive in your country, and they're right. It sucks. Anyway.
Oh, this is good. Good point, Henry. I can't believe we missed this. Henry says, pro-EU boy getting worried about democracy being interfered with is hilarious. Yeah, exactly. Don't even know why I didn't think of that. Does he mean that people's votes might be ignored, or are the filthy non-London serfs going to rise up and disagree with him? Well, shame that would be. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point.
Yeah, come on, it's his democracy.
Yeah, exactly. Matthew Wilson says, again, I can't believe I missed the irony of that. Matthew Wilson says, I expect GB News to be the leftiest of right-wing channels, maybe not explicitly woke. Are they going to fly the LGBT flag for June? My expectations are set low. I hope I'm wrong. However, the left's hysteria with GB News, just like Trump, is the greatest endorsement to being legitimate. A, yes, that's true. And B, they better not fly the bloody pride flag. Honestly, I'm going to be genuinely annoyed.
They better be individualists. I mean, no collectivist nonsense.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, the only person I'm worried about from the roster that I can think of would be Tom Harwood or whatever his name is. The one who thinks
the guy who thinks that there's no connection between sex and gender.
Yeah, you could be a man and have a vagina. It's literally his position.
It's a very feminine penis you have there, Tom.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, the rest of them seem solid. None of them seem like believe in any of this leftist nonsense.
Yes. Yeah. So far, they all seem pretty good, to be fair. Tiber says, regarding GB News, you're right. They are media professionals and should have prepped better to avoid all the technical issues. Totally unrelated, but what happened to yesterday's podcast, lads? Don't know.
Sometimes... technical issues. We're not media professionals.
Sometimes even the best podcasts have problems. Don't know.
OBS for some reason just decided to die, is my understanding, and then everything got killed by that.
But we couldn't restart it because otherwise we'd have lost the Facebook stream as well.
No, Facebook was already down. We couldn't restart. Right. Problems, but it was a complete glitch. There's nothing we can do about that.
Hopefully it's working better today, though. Kyle says, I was having a pint with colleagues last week, and one referred to the BBC News as the Nazi News. How would someone convince someone like that GB News isn't super mega Austrian painter? Well, because it's the opposite of the Nazis.
Like when they keep quoting conservatives and liberals and not socialists.
I mean, they're just not talking about race, and if you're not talking about race, you can't really be a Nazi. So,
what they even look like?
I don't know. They aren't dumb. They're just in a tech company and they're good at the job. I meet many like them. They have such misguided views. Just explain to them that Nazism is a form of socialism and GB News is clearly not a socialist outlet.
Yeah.
Northamptonian Knight says, though I remain wary of GB News just becoming another government propaganda outlet, which is a genuine concern in my opinion. I saw Andrew Neil being like, well, you know, Boris feels that he has to have the lockdown, so that's what we'll do. It's like, no, Andrew, come on, you could have pushed back on that a lot more firmly with some real moral legitimacy, but, you know, small complaints.
Yeah. I mean, as long as they give a platform to the other side, that's all I'm asking for at this point.
Yeah, just hear both sides of the argument.
Yeah, like have someone be like, no, come on. Like, we gave them this deadline. It's, you know, the numbers are not good enough to be asking for anything like this, so on and so forth.
Yeah. At least they cover the process at Downing Street. Plus, they have already ported the BBC to Ofcom and looking forward to implement legal proceedings. That's right. James Lee says, it's about time conservatives in the UK ban critical race theory in schools and universities. Yes, it is. Owen cut funding to sociology degrees while they're at it. It's not science. Fair point. Matthew Hammond says, Sticks made a good point today. We should spend less time talking about the anti-white aspect of CRT and more time talking about the anti-historical nature of what they're teaching. Yeah, that's fair. But also, like, I mean,
the segregating of kids seems like a bigger thing to me.
Yeah, I personally would prefer to focus on what I would describe as the anti-black nature of it. Telling black kids that they're inferior is an evil thing to do.
Yeah.
This is an evil thing to do. Any kid, their expectations inform their level of accomplishment. And you can see, I see this in my own children when they're doing something, you know, can I get up this climbing frame? And I'm like, yes, you can do it. Even if it fails, it doesn't matter. But, you know, 9 out of 10 times he'll succeed. And they're like, oh, daddy, I did it. And he's shocked and thrilled with his own, you know, accomplishment. He didn't even know he could do it, you know. And if I told him, no, you can't get up there, he wouldn't have even tried. And it's the same thing here. It's awful.
The thing in there for me is just like there's an action difference here compared to speech. Sure. I mean, you've got them, obviously, what you could describe as verbally abusing is what the parlance would be in UK law. But the physical abuse of actually segregating children on the basis of race, no.
Welcome to 2021. But no, you are right. I think, honestly, though, telling children that they are inferior is the worst thing.
Well, that's what you do by segregation as well. You've also got that.
It is, but like, it just strikes me as being more hard to quantify. But in the long term, I think you're going to hinder them more by persuading them they are actually inferior and being held back. I really think, honestly, I can't explain how
West Africans versus Caribbeans in
the UK. I'm so glad Tony Sewell did that race report and found that fact, because it's exactly the point that I'm trying to make. It's like, look, your expectations inform how your accomplishments are, and it's just cruel. It's a cruel thing to do. Anyway, Drew says, the more they say conspiracy theory, the less I believe it. You think they'd actually come up with an argument that disproves the widespread of critical race theory, or they could just be honest and try to come up with why critical race theory would be a good thing. However, cults don't like to do either and just accept and kneel.
Yeah, if it's conspiracy theory, why is it a good thing? That's a good argument.
Yeah, exactly. But what are you going to do? Make an argument that critical race theory is a good thing? They can't do it without turning around and saying, yeah, but white people evil, black people inferior. And nobody thinks that's good. So...
No, that's a good summation, actually. It's better than saying, you know, they think white people are great, black people bad, to say they think white people evil, black people inferior.
Yeah.
That's much better framing, I think.
And they can't describe it without putting it in that way. So it's like, you know, which is why they're like, well, I'm not even going to use the term critical race theory. I'm just going to implement it without saying it. Yanalis says, guess Pizza Hut is trying to win the corporate war in the education sector. Reminds me of Demolition Man. Yeah, it does. Hopefully base Taco Bell comes out and BTFOs them. North Antonian Knight says, demonic rats. You must read these books about CRT. Also, demonic rats, CRT doesn't exist. By denying CRT, they are saying white privilege doesn't exist. Base demonic rats.
Although I do prefer, what is it, demon KKK rats.
Yeah, I think that's the official boomer Republican way of describing them, and I think it's more proper.
Because it's also just really funny.
It is, because they are the party of the KKK. Drew again, I'm getting the feeling there are a lot of white progressives here. Laughter ensues. Are they in on the effing joke? Do they realize everyone else laughs at them for the same reason? They are. They're the self-flagellating, overly privileged white people of America. They love being told that they don't deserve what they have, even though you're probably not going to be able to point to any of them and say, well, you don't deserve this on X grounds. They probably, you know, got a good job, you know, worked hard at school, got a good education, got married, bought a house, got a good job, had, you know, 2.4 kids, lived a proper life, did well. And they're like, yeah, whip me because some other people didn't do this. They love it.
The speaker. The speaker has never done a proper job in her life.
Well, no, not the speaker. The audience he's talking
I
about.
I know, but it's just like the main person there, Robin DiAngelo, what she's done, just whined about being a white nationalist.
No. I don't want to say that being an academic isn't a proper job. It is a proper job. It's a lot of work. it is. It's just not physical work.
I don't know. I not all academic, but white nationalist academics, I'm going to put in the category of not working. Because, I mean, if you just turn around and just be like, yeah, it's the whites or it's the Jews, I'm just like, okay, that's not work. That's playtime.
I have read her work. It's taken her a lot of intellectual labor to get to the point where she can be like, yes, I'm a Nazi.
I'm not sure I'd call it intellectual work.
It is, though.
Okay, sure. Then everyone on 4chan is an intellectual academic.
I'm not saying they're not.
Okay.
Based 4chan academics.
You know, pictures are like Pepe's now with, like, you know, the pipes. And, oh, yes.
You know, a surprising amount of intellectual discourse actually comes out of 4chan. And you see it all over the internet.
Like, yeah, you see it in her books.
But it's because it's crowdsourced. Because, you know, anyone has been sat there on an idea and they've built this idea up, then they post it on 4chan and then it goes viral. You know, this happens all the time.
Sure, but then you get the nonsense ideas. I mean, well, stuff she has.
Obviously, but like,
I gotta remember, like, the funniest one I've ever seen was an anti-Semitic idea that came out. I think it was someone trying to explain, like, Nazis, how do you explain how electricity works? And it was some green text, but presumably ironically, they're just like, yeah, micro Jews in the wires hand coins to each other, and then the coins are like the electrons. Like,
wow. I'll inform Robin DiAngelo. But anyway, yeah. So, student of history, base black professor speaking the truth, and RD, I'm racist. Robin DiAngelo, I'm racist. Me, thanks for the honesty. Speak for yourself and be gone, thought. Yeah, I mean, if the fact that she's just come in and say, I'm a racist, okay. I'm not really interested in your opinion. But she...
And I'm not buying your book.
Well, I did buy a book, actually, to figure out if she was a racist or not. And thankfully, it was like about two-thirds of the way through the book, she's like, yeah, I'm a racist. And it's like, okay. You could have put that at the beginning and I could have skipped like two-thirds of what I'd had to read. Anyway, Angel Brain says, I hate when people politicize the classroom by insisting history lessons are based on actual history. Yeah, I know. It's bad for those critical race theorists.
Yeah, didn't you notice how he also, DeSantis had to mention in the wording there that the Holocaust should be taught accurately? What are they teaching about the Holocaust?
Makes me wonder. What are the white supremacists in academia teaching about the Holocaust? I can't even imagine.
Because they had to single it out in the text of the bill.
Well, you know how the left feels about Jews.
Yeah.
Andre says, CRT tells black people no matter what they do, they can't be successful and that they will always be seen as inferior, almost as they are saying a certain ethnicity is inherently superior. Now, where did we hear that before? Exactly. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's white progressives like black people, you're inferior. It's like, that's awful, isn't it? I think that's awful. Surely we all agree that's awful.
Surely you wouldn't vote Hillary.
George says, I think it's pretty obvious that base Florida man is generating positive buzz to make a presidential bid. God, I hope so. While my paranoia made me think that he may be an Emmanuel Goldstein honeypot, and I've seen similar theories about Trump, I don't put any stock in that. He seems like a good character to convey the message of conservatism. Now the question is, can a Republican even win after the fortification we saw in 2020 and the impotent resistance of the GOP to it? Well, I think it's important to remember that fortifying an election requires an awful lot of energy. And that can't just be summed up every time. And Trump kind of was in a special position where literally all of his opponents and a large part, well, not a large part, but a significant slice of his own party kind of like despised him on existential grounds. And if you don't have these factors aligning, it's a lot more difficult to fortify. But I'm not saying it can't happen, obviously. And
Postal votes as a percentage of votes went from, like, what was it, 11% to 40%
or something?
40-50, something like that.
Yeah, get rid of postal voting. It's not good. Israel says, I'm starting to see why they want to have mothers work and not at home. It makes it easier to indoctrinate the offspring with this bloody lunacy. Yeah, well, that's another reason, isn't it? Dave Carter says, someone should translate Reichspeak into German and put it where it belongs. That's true. Carbohydrate Crusader says, what a turnaround it'd be if Florida Man went from newspaper headlines like Florida Man arrested for shagging alligator to Florida Man new president.
Yeah.
One can dream. Yeah, exactly.
Just anything he says, like whenever he says something funny, it's just like Florida Man says this. Like,
yeah. Florida Man BTFOs the left.
I can already see the memes. I can already see like the placards he could make for social media, you know, like the graphics. Yeah. Just like, vote Florida Man. Yeah. I like Florida Man.
Yeah. But you see it all over America, you know, Florida Man is taking over. Chris says, morning, gents. Thank you for highlighting those CRT examples Florida Man produced. Needed some ammo to explain to people why CRT is cancer.
Look, if they're not going to back desegregation, I don't know what's going to get them on.
Yeah, you've got a really tough crowd.
Lay me in with your mates or your co-workers or whatever it is and be like, hey, I'm for desegregation. And they're not. And it's like, yeah.
But I love it. Chris comes out. Black and white people are equal. His friends are like, boo.
It just so seems... your friends are like, I want segregation today. I want segregation tomorrow.
The thing is, I just can't help but go back to like 2016 when I'm like, look, this isn't just going to stay in universities. It's going to come everywhere. It's going to become a major political issue. And people are like, no. Yes. There we are. Anyway, Carbohydrate Crusader says, hey boys, thanks for the congrats yesterday. I just want to say it's been interesting working in the hospital since the news of the extension of the totally super legit lockdown to fight super deadly black plague virus. Most of my colleagues are really angry about this now, despite supporting it pretty much the entire time. It seems they've lost all public support now. I feel like even normies are looking at this and saying, what is going on? Why are you doing this? Which is a bit of a white pill, in my opinion, at least. Any opinion on this? All the best, labs, loving the premium stuff too. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much.
Do you see the YouGov poll?
God, was it like 70% love the lockdown?
70% of people agree with the lockdown.
God, where?
No way.
Where?
Absolutely no chance.
I've not met one person who agrees with the lockdown.
Like, if you wanted an example of why YouGov on occasion is just complete fake news, that poll.
Yeah.
Forever. That's the one I'm just going to post over everything.
Did they poll, like, you know, pro-lockdown scientists?
Like, we polled the government.
Yeah.
Like,
we polled the Sage Advisory Committee.
Jesus,
that's insisting
Christ
on lockdowns, and 70% of them wanted lockdowns.
It's so obviously fake, I don't even know it.
Yeah.
You thought they'd try. You thought they'd make it 50-50 at least.
Yeah, no, I will honestly go around the streets at some point and just say, are you pro-lockdown, see what the results are. Mo says, hey guys, this summer I want to get into reading. I have some history books and dystopias in mind, but I'm some philosophy books. What would be your suggestions? Well, it depends what kind of thing you're like interested in, but honestly, The Apology of Socrates is a very entertaining first read if you're getting into philosophy, because Socrates is a Chad. There's no getting around it. They're like, right, we find you guilty. What should your punishment be? He's like, free meals. And they're like, how about hemlock? He's like, well, no, in fact, they're not even that. They're like, well, you've got a choice. You can either be exiled or drink the hemlock. He's just like, give me the hemlock.
It's just like the guy from The Hague.
Like the guy from The Hague. It's like, and so it's a nice, and it's not very long either. So it's in the form of dialogue. So it's not like thick academic prose or something. So it's nice and easy to get into. Free Will says, after hearing yesterday's podcast, you mentioned Ingsoc's possible rewrite of Lord of the Rings, one of my favourite books ever. Having purchased a physical set, including The Hobbit, before the Ministry of Truth gives it a diversity makeover. What it will be is will be the extrapolated products of that. So it'll be new movies or TV shows or whatever that will be woke nonsense designed to undermine the moral legitimacy of defending Gondor and the West from orc invasion.
They're just going to make Gimli and Aragorn gay and then make it a sitcom.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Saruman's gay.
He's the guy next door.
Yeah. He's their gay neighbor. Comes over to talk about queering things. Speaking My Mind says, going back to yesterday's episode, which briefly covered Bojo's announcement, I come into work this morning and the management are constantly asking if I've booked the jab as I'm one of the youngest members of staff. I responded with, I have dealt with it. I'm being cautious about having the jab because every member of my family has been sick after having it. Any tips for me telling them to back off without coming across as just being difficult? Just, I don't know, lighter.
My body, my choice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah, my body, my choice. Death rates are virtually zero.
I kind of salted on the vaccine, I'm not going to lie, after hearing experiences of people who have taken it.
Yeah, not doesn't look pleasant.
Nah. The incident rate seems too high.
Yeah. I mean, two BBC journalists have died after having it now.
Hmm. It's like my mother, she did it, she got the first one. Yeah. Her entire, like, I think it's her right side.
Yeah.
Like, the shooting pains, like, yeah. Toothache levels of pains all up and down her arm. Like, her grip's not back, she can't really hold things properly. She doesn't have that many friends either, and she says, like, four people she knew has exactly the same symptoms.
Really?
And it's like, within such a small group of people.
Well, a friend of mine, John, says a mate's dad lost half his hearing. A friend of mine told me about how he has a friend who's a drummer, 34 years old, got the vaccine, and has now got some sort of palsy in his legs. So now he can't be a drummer. He can't walk. So he can't play drums.
It's his career over.
It's his career over, yeah. 34 years old. There's just no way I'm taking this vaccine. And the thing is, I've had the coronavirus. So what's it going to do? Protect me from something I've already had? You need antibodies. I have antibodies. Thank you.
But they try to blame it on my mom. They try to say it was like, oh, you must have fallen or something. She was like,
no.
But then they were like, yeah, but we'll give you the second one. We can do it in the other arm. Like,
the hell?
You're stupid.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks very much. No.
Anyway.
Nitrocellular's Doormat says, after Dictator Boris's very bumbling announcement last night, I emailed my local MP to let him know he needs to stand up for our basic rights and stop being a coward. Not expecting anything but standard belittling response back. No, but good on you for emailing your local representative, because that's what they're there for, you know. Folks, if you're not happy with the things that are currently happening in this country or any other country that's democratic, email your local representatives. They've got to listen to you. But more importantly, do you think Biden's dementia is contagious? Dictator Boris sat down next to puppet Biden during the G7. Now, Dictator Boris seems to be even more incoherent than normal. Obviously, we have now an excuse to boot him out. What new conservative leader should we have? Any thoughts?
Kemi.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, Liz Truss, you know, wouldn't object. Honestly, Priti Patel, I wouldn't object to. I liked her response to the footballing knees. She's like, oh, do you think they should take the knee? And she's like, well, it's their choice, isn't it? You know, should people boo? It's like, well, it's their choice, which is the implication that they should boo.
Her public opinion, her private opinion is obviously different, but her public opinion on BLM and her statements on it were not as forward as I would have liked. Kemi's were. That's why I have more trust in Kemi. But
I think that Priti was diplomatically saying no.
Yeah, I wouldn't oppose Priti, obviously.
No, I think she did a good job. Yeah. And, you know. Anyway, Tamaj says, have you heard about the legislation proposed in Hungary recently? The latest amendment submitted to the parliament on Thursday by Fidesz lawmakers to... so just to interrupt, right? I'm so sick of like hearing... Who was it? It was someone important. Someone who should have known better. It wasn't like Jeremy Corbyn, but like it was someone like important. But he just openly called Viktor Orban an autocrat. It's like, what are you talking about? He's been elected like four times. And there was like an 8-year gap in his where the opposition took power. And it's like, so that's not an autocrat. This is a democratically elected leader. You just don't like him. You know, stop calling these people autocrats if it's not accurate. But anyway, Fidesz lawmakers were proposed a bill that punishes paedophilia, saying youngsters under 18 cannot be shown pornographic content, or any bill that encourages gender change or homosexuality. This also applies to adverts, the bill says.
And Reuters have titled it, Hungary Moves Against LGBT Community.
Hmm. And big thing.
Oh god, the picture they used. Jesus.
Yeah, let's have a look at that picture.
People attended Budapest Pride, and there's a guy in leather,
not a fetish parade,
saying "Mr. Leather Europe" with the leather pride flag. Apparently, I guess
not a fetish parade.
Another guy who's topless, all hairy, with a sash, who says "Mr. Bear Austria" with a flag that's like God knows what, with a paw symbol on it.
Not a fetish parade. I don't know the content of the bill, obviously, but I don't think the youngsters under 18 should be shown pornographic content, and I don't think that we should.
It says in here, like you can read it. Like Reuters are reporting this. It's not just.
Oh god, no, I'm just reading the comment.
Oh yeah, I mean, like it's a situation of like they published this. Like, imagine publishing the headline being like, they move against the LGBT community. And then the text is like, yeah, they want to criminalize pedophilia. Also, here's a bunch of porn fetishists.
Yeah, so you can't promote gender changing or homosexuality in things like adverts, right? And schools.
And that harms the LGBT.
Hmm.
I feel like you're adding a P at the end there in the plus section. I mean, if it is plus at the end and that includes everyone and their mum, I mean...
Well, I mean, I guess, but Reuters are presumably coming out on the map pride side of things. Sam says, I was trying to sell 40K, the concept and setting, not models, some of my friends. Unfortunately, many of them are that special brand of left that you only get by going to uni, and they had this idea that it could basically boil down to, if it isn't communism, it's bad. So I sold them on the Tao, and I've successfully turned two hard left people into two soft left people with massive weeb tendencies. My question is, did I do good, or should I have left it well enough alone? Well, I mean, I don't really want communists playing 40K.
Tao aren't real communists anyway. Tyranids are real communists.
No, actually, we should do a thing about this. I'm actually thinking about it. I think that the true fascists are actually the bugs or the tyrannids, because they're not actually about equality. They're actually about a strictly regimented hierarchy that you can't escape from any way. But the thing is, this is kind of an outgrowth of communism. So we'll this is why the
you don't think the Tao have a hierarchy?
They do, yeah, obviously. But
that's the thing. Real communism is always. That
it's always, you know, one step beyond, isn't it? Yeah, but
it's always fascism.
it always ends up being fascism. But this is what we'll talk about in the neither left nor right book club, so sign up for that. Yeah. It'll be really good.
Then we'll do we should do a 40K discussion afterwards, just declaring like, all right, so who's a fascist, who's a communist, like, because it'd be fun. But otherwise, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. I think tomorrow I'm doing it with Josh, aren't I?
Yep,
so we'll be doing that. As I mentioned, the tall woman video should be up at 3 p.m. So in half an hour, go and check that out. They'll be on the LotusEaters.com website and also LotusEaters.com YouTube channel. Words, LotusEaters.com, in case you don't know where that is. But otherwise, thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye.